Sisa, the story of Maaseh HaEgel, one of the most central ideas, concepts, stories in the Parsha. Many years ago, I heard a beautiful teaching from the Sasemes. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu does everything mida keneged mida. So I was listening to the today he's the Silutzer Rebbe in Farakwe. Today is Rabbi Yankel Rubin Shalita. Back then he was the Rebbe's son. The Rebbe passed away. And Avdu Nechaim and Mason today that his son Bachshim is the Rebbe. So back then, it was a Kiddush, and he said over the Sfasemes, he asked, so what's the Mida Keneged Mida? We know Kadosh Baruch Hu works Mida Keneged Mida. So what's the Mida Keneged Mida in the story of Moshe Rabbeinu? What is it about Moshe Rabbeinu that didn't allow him to go into Eretz Yisrael? So he said that the power of speech, right? The way that Moshe Rabbeinu had a koyach in speech, so that was Kadosh Baruch Hu asked Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock, and he didn't speak to it. Instead, he hit it. So mida keneged mida, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow him to go into Eretz Yisrael. So what's the mida keneged mida? So because he didn't speak to the rock, so he wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. What's the connection? So the connection was that the whole way that we lost Eretz Yisrael was through Lashon Hara. Right? The Sinas Chinam that came in the Bayis Sheni, the destruction of all Koyach of Sinas Chinam and Lashon Hara. So Moshe Rabbeinu is typified by the Koyach of speech. In this week's parsha, we're going to see Moshe Rabbeinu's strength in a different way. Says in Sivu Shalom, the son of Rebbe, Amru Chazal, and Avodah Zarah Chazal said, L'chatu Yisrael el l'hoiros tshiva l'rabim. Ka Yisrael, the only reason that the Avera, the sin of Chet HaEgel came into this world, why was it? And Kadosh Baruch Hu knows all of the past, and Kadosh Baruch Hu knows all of the future. So Kadosh Baruch Hu knew there would be a Chet HaEgel. It wasn't like a chance, a possibility. If Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to be, so he knows that this is going to happen in the history of Am Yisrael. So what's the purpose of it? So L'chat Yisrael, what was the purpose of their Chet? L'hoiros tshiva l'rabim, to teach us how to do tshiva. If Klal Yisrael needs to learn a lesson about tshiva, it was so important to teach us how to do tshiva that Kadosh Baruch Hu caused Am Yisrael to sin in Chet HaEgel. That had to be part of the history, part of the development, part of the evolution of Am Yisrael, was there should be this type of a sin. The Midrash talks about these things in the beginning of Bereishis. Midrash talks about the necessity of things like evil, necessity of things like galus, right in the beginning of Bereishis, because that's when creation is being spoken about. Part of creation is there will be evil. Part of creation is that there will be exile. Part of creation is that there will be sin. And the purpose of it is to teach us tshuva. Or zere parshas egel parshas tshuva. Says in Sivu Shalom, according to that, it means that the story of the eagle is the story of tshuva. Because it's now going to teach us important, special, unique things about tshuva. Dina isa b'mefarshim al dekasa v'yaris ha'egel u'mecheilois v'yashech miyodav esaluchois v'shaber oisam. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he saw the eagle, and he saw the mecheilois, he saw the dancing around the eagle in circles. V'yashech miyodav esaluchois, and he threw down the stone tablets v'shaber oisam, and he smashed them and he broke them. So what does it say in the Mefarshim? V'tchila kasha amal Kadosh Baruch Hu lech reid kishiches amcha. What did he say, God? God said, go down from the mountain because your nation has sinned. So what happened? So the cho'od shelo ra oisam smeichim ima egel lo haya hadavar koka chamur be'enav. Lo shavar esaluchos. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. It wasn't that God said to Moshe, listen, your nation sinned. He took the luchos and he smashed it. That's not what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't yet observe them with ego. He heard about it. He descended down from the mountain, and that's when he broke the tablets. That's when he did Shriya Sub. Now, that's going to be quite significant, as we're going to see. When he observed that they were dancing in circles around the ego, and they were rejoicing, that they were happy about it, that's when he broke the luchos. Nimsa she'etzem chet ha'egel It wasn't the chet ha'egel alone. It wasn't just that Hashem said, listen, they made an egel, and he took the luchos and he smashed them on the floor. No. It took the observation of the dancing and the rejoicing around the egel to cause Moshe Rabbeinu to break the luchos. Kim ha'mechoyros shesamchu bazeh, shebishvil zeh tzarech haya l'shabris ha'luchos. So again, it wasn't enough that they did a sin that they made the eagle and they worshipped the golden calf. It was the fact that they danced and rejoiced around it. That's what caused Moshe Rabbeinu to throw down the luchos and break them. What's the explanation behind this? Kadosh Baruch Hu, in His mercy, knows that man will sin. It's a foregone conclusion that we're not perfect. We're not expected to be perfect. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't demand that of a human being, because that's not the way humans are made. Hashem made us. He knows the way we are. He gave a Yetzirah to tempt us. The reason is because He knows that we can succumb to temptation. If there was no chance of us succumbing to temptation, the whole thing would be a joke. It would be a farce. Because what's the whole purpose of the Yetzirah? This would be Shechar Va'Oinish. Why should there be reward and punishment? Because there has to be the opportunity to choose wrong. The opportunity to choose the other side, to choose evil. If there's no opportunity to choose evil, if there's no opportunity to sin, if there's no chance that anything will ever go wrong, so the whole thing's a joke. So the opportunity has to be there, and the opportunity has to be real. So real that sometimes we mess up. So real that it's a foregone conclusion that there will be sin, that there will be averus. Because otherwise, what would tshuva exist for? One of the things created before creation is, according to Chazal and Pirkei Avos, tshuva. What do you have to create tshuva for if no one's ever going to do an avera? And the answer is, it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to do averus. No, Rahman al-Islam. We're not supposed to. But Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. And therefore, He created a special thing in His mercy and His kindness, tshuva. The ability to always come back. Shafiru achar sheyehudi kvar nichshal vihigia lematzav shafir v'yorud b'yoser. Even after a Jew has sinned and he's reached the lowest state possible, he's fallen, and you think he can't get any lower than that, barla kadosh baruch hu trufa misoy chachet atzmai. Not only did He create a path of return, right? It's a kadosh baruch hu made for us a two-way ticket. There's no one-way tickets. You always have a way back. Not only did He do that, but He created it that it should be mitoch hachet. Tshuva comes from within the chet itself. Just like olive oil is found in the olive, say the Sfarim, in the same way, within the chet is found the tshuva. Just like we know that in the olive, if you crush it and you squeeze it, that there's oil inside, it's going to come out. In the same way, tshuva is found within the avera itself. Why? Says in Siva Shalom, Shelibor Shavur Bekirbo Al Chatoi. Because a person, after he sins, he feels tzibrochen. He feels bad about it. Any person who has a conscience knows when they've done something wrong, whatever that is, they feel bad about it. They don't feel like, okay, afterwards life just goes on. They have what's called Nekifot Matzpun. Their conscience keeps bothering them. Right, they always have those cartoons or like those things with the two like guys, like the one of them is all dressed in white, like the little angel, and he's like, hey, what are you doing that for? And the other one them is dressed either in red or in black, and he's like, no, don't listen to that guy, do it, you know. But the truth is that no matter who he listens to, Chas Shalom, if he listens to the other guy, right, then afterwards the little guy's like, why'd you do it for? The conscience is always bothering us. What'd you do it for? You could have held out just a bit longer. Oh, what'd you do it for? Now it's all messed up, and now you gotta fix it. When a person feels bad, it's because of the avera. He doesn't feel bad stam. So within the chet, within the avera, within the sin, is the opportunity to repent, to have remorse, to feel bad about it. It's yisuri hamatzpun sheyesh lachar chet shelibo shavur bekirbo chatoy. With the fact that a Jew is remorseful and he has a broken heart and he feels bad about it, that is the trufa, that is the antidote, that is the refuah that comes after the sin, that comes from the sin itself. Because what's causing a person to feel bad? It's the fact that he did an avera. If he hadn't sinned, if he hadn't done the Avera, he wouldn't feel bad about it. So the Avera itself is causing him the remorse. Even if you think you don't feel bad about it, deep down inside, he does feel bad. And that's why sometimes it takes a while afterwards, but then the conscience comes back. Listen, a long time ago you did it, and it comes back to you all of a sudden to remind you that something was wrong. It says in the Sfarim, Kusta dechiyusa misoreres ba'ad misoy chachet gufoy. It's a little bit, that little pintle type of life that's found in everything, even within the sin itself. Within every Jew, it wakens up, and it awakens within him Yisuri HaMatzpun, pangs of remorse and repentance. Shayadeza yachzor l'shorsho, come back. Uchamayim rakosu b'yirmiya tiasreka ra'asecha. Your evil will cause you anguish and pain. The evil itself that a person does, the own actions that he does to sin and to do an avera, it itself causes him pain and feelings of remorse. It bothers him. Shebesoy chachet ve'apgam tmuna hatrufa. Because, like we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid within the act of sin itself, within that very action that was wrong, deep within there, is hidden the truth of the antidote, the medicine. Lamaka shertiasreka raseka. And therefore, a person's own evil actions cause him to feel remorseful, cause him to feel bad, cause him to have pangs of guilt that I've done something wrong and I better find a way to fix it. Ulechen kasher omer kadosh baruch hu moish yisrael osu es ha'igel adayim lo yabedai to lishbor es haruchos. When a kadosh baruch hu said, Moshe, listen, your nation sinned and they made an egel. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't throw the luchos down and break them at that moment. Why? Obviously, listen, they did something wrong. So if somebody does something wrong, they have a conscience, they feel bad about it. You do an avera, afterwards you feel bad about it. You want to do tshuva, you want to repent, you want to turn over a new leaf, you want to figure out why it shouldn't happen again, you feel remorseful, you feel bad about it. But what would you expect then? The Klai Yisrael did an avera, they should all be on the floor crying, stamping their feet in anguish, right? What did we do? What a horrible thing we've done. Rakasher ra'as ha'mecholos shem smechim b'zeh nisya yesh l'gamre. What happened? Moshe came down, and instead of finding Klai Yisrael lying on the floor, crying in anguish, screaming, clapping al chet, what did we do? He found them smechim b'mecholos, dancing in a circle. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu had a feeling that something went wrong. Because the way to do tshiva, the way to repent and return, is to be remorseful, is to feel bad about it. And here they are, and they're all happy and dancing. The Moshe Rabbeinu did something else. Shema yochel hu la'azor lahem. How can I possibly help these people? What am I going to do? V'yashach es haluchos. So Moshe Rabbeinu did the only thing that he knew would help. He took the luchos and he smashed them. If you can dance happily after doing an Avera, Rachmana Litzlan, what do you have to do with this Torah? This Torah isn't for people who are exulting in joy after doing an Avera. That's not a Jewish way to act. A person like that must be cut off, because if you're still attached up on high, you should be feeling remorseful and bad. They're cut off min acherek elokim imal. Hatovea miyehudi loherif ayeka. Hechanata boilam. If a Jew is attached to Hashem, then constantly he's going to continuously feel the call that screams, where are you? I'm looking for you. I'm searching for you. Come back. Right? Like a child that gets lost in the forest and his father calls out, come back, come back. I'm looking for you. The worst is if the child doesn't turn around and come back. That means he doesn't want to go back. So what do? Shviras haluchos nechsheves l'malosa gdol shel Moshe Rabbeinu. The greatest praise that Chazal could find from Moshe Rabbeinu is to tell us that he smashed the luchos. Uchedroshes Chazal al pasuk, the last of the psukim in Dvarim in Lamedalet, ulekol hayad chazaka asher asa Moshe Rabbeinu kol Yisrael. What is that referring to? Lekol hayad chazaka, say Chazal. The most courageous act, the most defiant act, the most defining action. The Chumash is ending now, right? When we end the Chumash, we want to describe Moshe Rabbeinu with things that we'll always remember him for. And we say, V'chol yad chazaka. It's referring to when he smashed the Luchos. That's what it's referring to. What is that? Shana Sarib Rishwara Sabuchos, Lenayim. Kasher Moshe Rabbeinu Rosh, She'en Yisrael Tikun, Rahman Ritzel. When he saw that they're dancing and they're happy, even after the Avera, Kiribosem Shleimim Beinam Shurim, their hearts are not broken. They're not brokenhearted about it. Their hearts are still whole. Tzarach lishboras halavavos shall call shishim riva bnei Yisrael. How do you break a Jewish heart? By throwing down the luchos and smashing them. I once heard that you know, the different shitas, if the luchos are supposed to be drawn straight or if they're supposed to be drawn rounded like a lot of people draw them. Someone once said that in the consciousness of Klal Yisrael, they're always drawn like that rounded because it's like a heart. That the Torah is the heart of a Jewish person. I was once present. There was a Rav I knew, and Nebuch in the shul where we were davening, the secretary there, she was a very nice lady, but she wasn't from an Orthodox home, and unfortunately the Jewish education that she instilled in her family, even though she worked in the shul, that was the job of the secretary, obviously the Jewish education she gave her children just wasn't strong enough. I can't judge her because I don't know what went on in her home, but I do know that her son was dating a non-Jewish woman, and she was crying. She didn't know what to do because he was engaged and he wanted to marry her, and they didn't know what to do. And the Rav took me and another person as witnesses, and he did a ceremony that I found out later is quite popular among Rabbanim to try and convince people who have some feeling of Yiddishkeit to change their mind about intermarriage. And what he did was he took us into the shul, and he spoke about wonderful Jewish things, and he made the guy feel good about his Jewishness. Look, most Jewish people don't hate their Jewishness, even if they're not necessarily in love with it. And he reminded him of all any type of wonderful Jewish things he had, and his mother, and all these things. And then he dressed him up in a talis, and put a kippah on his head, and we went into the shul, and he opened up the Aron Kodesh, and he took out a Sefer Torah, and he told the guy to give the Sefer Torah a big hug, and to kiss it. And I'll never forget what he did next. Then he told him, he started screaming at him, take the Sefer Torah and throw it on the floor. Now, listen. Most people are not going to do that. Okay? You can be very far away from Yiddishkeit, but most people have an understanding what it means to take a Sefer Torah, which Jews consider to be the holiest, and to throw it on the floor. He was looking at the rabbi like the rabbi said, throw it on the floor and stomp on it, because that's what you're doing. By marrying out of the faith, that's what you're doing. You're taking the Torah, you're throwing it on the floor, and you're jumping up and down on it. So you may as well do it now. Take it and throw it down. I was thinking that's the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did. He took what is it about such a dramatic thing that it should wake up a person? You know, wake up a Jewish heart. And the guy was crying. You know, I'm sure this guy doesn't necessarily cry in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because he's not that type. You know what I mean? And like this was like a transforming moment. The rabbi is screaming, take the Torah and throw it on the floor and stomp on it. And he couldn't do it, obviously. He put it back in the Aron Kodesh. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael. He took the Luchos, that was our Torah, and he threw it to the floor and he smashed it. Why? Because he was smashing, breaking the hearts of the Jewish people by doing so. There was no other way, because they weren't sebrachim, they weren't brokenhearted, they were dancing in a joyous circle, exulting around the eagle. The person did an aver, and they're so happy. So what do? To break their heart. How do you break a Jewish heart? Smashing the Torah, smashing the luchos. It's a sher kara oisam. Now you're going to recognize what you've done. You think that you're just marrying somebody out of the faith? You're throwing a Sefer Torah to the floor and jumping on it and stamping on it. You think you're just dancing around some golden calf? You've destroyed the Torah. You've smashed the Luchos. By seeing that Moshe would smash the Luchos in front of them, that would break the Jewish heart. And that's what's going to rectify them and fix them. If by the soita it says, the Kirsh Baruch Hu says, take my name, write it on a cloth, and you know, dissolve it, so my name will be dissolved, so I should bring shalom between man and wife. That we should be able to blot out the name and destroy the luchos. This is what saved Am Yisrael. That's why it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the way the Chumash ends by Moshe Rabbeinu. He is l'chol yad chazaka. By smashing the luchos, that was the strongest, most courageous act that he could have ever done, by breaking the hearts of Jewish people and leading them back to do tshuva. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could have done such a thing. And they all mourned. And they all became like a velim. Vine, Hashem Rachman, Mol Rachman, Kasher Rosh is Abalu, Chazer Ve'Omer Be'Derech Rachman, and more Lebnei Yisrael. What did Kadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain? Go down! Your nation has sinned. Like we always say, like, you know, two parents, like, your son, look what your son did. Well, he's not your son. Yeah, but when he's doing something bad, he's your son, you know? Look at your son, look what your daughter did. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, look at your nation, look at what they did. And when he saw that Klal Yisrael observed the smashing of the luchos, and he's above, and they mourned, and it broke their hearts, like we said, like, any, who could throw a Sefer Torah to the floor and stamp on it? They were totally destroyed by that, by watching the Moshe Rabbeinu smash the luchos. And Kadosh Baruch Hu observed that they became like mourners, Yisabalu. Then what did he say? Kadosh Baruch Hu called them Bnei Yisrael again. He called them my children. That's what says. That's what the Ramban says. Ki ad ata yizkir amcha v'ha'am v'ata yizkirim bishmam ha'chaviv. Now he calls them my children. V'tziv lemor lahem heitivu asher asu leinachem v'yisaber al chatosim. Now I see that they are feeling bad about what they did. That's the way that they're going to be after they sin. That's tshuva. To be tzibrochim, to feel bad. Now that they feel bad, now that they're feeling tzibrochim and brokenhearted about their sin, I examine the inner, says Hashem, I know what's really going on in a Jewish heart. Now I can forgive them. They shouldn't have done this Klal Yisrael, but the only purpose of the whole story of the Egel was to teach tshuva forever for all of generations. And the answer is shiver alev, a broken heart. And Kadosh Baruch Hu examines the inside of a heart. It says in Tehillim, Lev nishbar venidke Elokim loy sivze. God will not turn down a broken heart. And therefore we said, Kadosh Baruch Hu hikdim refuah l'maka. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the refuah of being broken hearted into the maka. She'ikar tikun l'cheta ego ayadei she'is abal of yishvurim ma'od bekirba. The worst that could have happened was when Moshe Rabbeinu came down and saw them happy. You know, on the way back home today, I was visiting my parents, and I came back, and as I was driving, I stopped at a red light, and I was horrified by the billboard that I saw. Not because it was like Pritzah Steka. I read in the Sefer that you lent me about about the Strobkever Rebbe, that he was horrified by billboards. He was such a kanoi. If he saw a non-Sneha Steka billboard, he would rip it to shreds. One time he was on a bus, and it was some non-Sneha picture he noticed as he was sitting on the bus. He got up and started ripping. The bus driver said, I'm going to drive you straight to the police station. The Rebbe got up, walked over and said, take me there, arrest me, it'll be a bigger Kiddush Hashem. And the driver said, I'm not taking him to the police station. And he would take his son and put him on his shoulders and walk around Yerushalayim, because they used to put up all kinds of over, even in like the really Haredi areas in Mash Sharam and Geula. And he would tell his son, rip that one, rip that one. You know, so he was a big kanai like that. So I didn't see that type of a building, Baruch Hashem, but I saw something that might even be worse. I was sitting there, and there's like some new type of pudding or something called YOLO, and the billboard said in English, I guess they thought they couldn't get away with it in Lashon Kodesh, Baruch Hashem. Well, I don't remember the exact Lashon, but it was something like, it tastes so good, almost like a sin. Something like that. I was like, what? Did I like misread that? And I just looked at it again. It feels almost as good as a sin. Something horrible like that. And I said, oh my gosh, that's terrible. Why is it so terrible? Because it's not like it's a pizza stick of it. Because what's the message behind such a statement? Sin feels good. It feels so good to sin. You know what the truth is? It's mamash a sheker. It is the biggest sheker. Because anybody who's ever done chas v'shalom a sin, and we spoke about that before, unfortunately, we're human beings. Like, we do stuff wrong. I mean, I know I do. I'm not perfect. So, like, after you sin, unless you're made of some different type of material, right? It feels really bad. It doesn't feel good at all. Maybe at the moment that you're eating the sin, it tastes just like this wonderful chocolate yogurt. I don't know, like, what it is. But right afterwards, it feels horrible. Maybe that's what happens with the pudding also. Maybe after you eat it, you feel terrible. I don't know. But I was horrified. It was just as good as sin. Like, oh my gosh, what are you saying? You think sin is good? But obviously, the person who wrote this billboard, either he has no conscience, or he's never sinned before, one or the other. Because sin don't feel good. At least not afterwards. At the moment, maybe. But it's not worth it. Afterwards, it's horrible. And that's the message. It's horrible. And when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Klal Yisrael after the sin, dancing, singing, and happy, that's when he broke the luchos. Because after sin, that's when it's horrible. That's when it's the worst. And when a Jew feels that after the Avera, that's tshuva. Ki tshuva me'aba mishivur nalev akar sachet amuka haderech hazeh yadei koyach ha-Torah. And that's the power of the Shviras HaLuchos, because the Luchos are the Torah. Only the Torah can teach us and give us the power to do tshuva and to understand how it is to come back. I'll just leave you with something he says from the Koshin Sir Magid in Parshas Para. Because Yisro Magid writes in Avos Yisrael, in Avodis Yisrael, he says that it says the Ata hinichali v'yichar api b'hem v'echkalim. Right? Look, what does Kadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Listen, these people went and made an eagle. So listen, you leave me alone, says Kadosh Baruch Hu. Give me the opportunity to let out my wrath, and I'm going to destroy them. I'll make you into a new nation. So what does that pasuk mean? Says Avodis Yisrael. Says the Kadosh Yisro Magid. It means haniglahu. What's the pashup shot in the pasuk? Kom shamer chazal de pasach or pesach veodio shadavar taliboy. What does it say? Hanichali, leave me alone. As if chazal say it's almost as if Moshe grabbed onto Kadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol and was holding him back. Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, "Let me go." Moshe is holding Kadosh Baruch Hu back. How? Rashi there says, Chazal, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't daven, leave me alone, let me destroy them, because if you daven, I won't be able to. What does that teach us? That Kadosh Baruch Hu is swayed by our tefillah. That Moshe Rabbeinu was given the choice. Don't daven, because if you daven, I won't be able to destroy them. Of course, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and we were Baruch Hashem, we were still around, right? That's the pshat. What's the deeper meaning of the pasuk? Larosam derech tshuva. Va'ata hinichali. What does it mean? Ata hinichali. Hinicha is from lashon naicha, nachas ruach. Va'ata hinichali. You want to do tshuva? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, give me nachas. You want to do tshuva? Give me nachas. What happened? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, your nation sinned. Then it became your children when they did tshuva, when he saw that they were be'avelus. How do you want to be a child? Every parent wants nachas from their children. Every Jewish parent wants nachas. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to come back to me? You want me to be your father? So give me nachas. Ata hinichali, give me nachas. Shtasri nachas ruach, sheyeshuva mechatam. If you just feel bad, if you just are remorseful, if you feel bad when a child's doing wrong, you're so angry, and then he starts crying and his lips starts trembling and your heart just melts and you're like, okay, you know, I mean, it depends how bad it is, but usually a parent feels bad when their child, when the lips starts, when they start pouting, and you feel all bad. Kadosh Baruch Hu is our father, and he says, give me nachas. Show me that you feel bad. Show me that you believe you made a mistake. And then, Kadosh Baruch Hu will help. That's tshuva. So how is this connected to Purim? Because everything in the parsha is always connected to the Zman. Chazal say about Purim, Kimu v'kibru. Purim is Kabbalah Satorah. It's not only Kabbalah Satorah, it's the Kabbalah Satorah. Why? Because back by Har Sinai, Kaflim Har Kegius, it says, because Baruch Hu held the mountain over our heads and says, you better take this Torah, I'm going to bury you under the mountain. And now, by Zman HaChashverosh, what happened? Kimu v'kibru, Kimu mashikibru kvar. Kaisar came and said, we'll take the Torah out of sheer love. So it's a time of Kabbalah Satorah. So, Amir Biderman, I saw the Kedusha Levi before, but he reminded me of it. Yitzchak Beditchever says in Kedusha Levi, in Kedusha Rishonah of Purim, says, Dvarim choitzim lahavoseish, u'me'ata yisraev lev ha'adam, b'kara Megillah. You should be so excited when you read the Megillah. Why? What's the Megillah telling you? V'yichav b'kara u'chashmoya Megillah sheme'ata mekabel ol terosoy mitzvoyosav. You want to make a real Kabbalah Satorah? You want to have a real Kabbalah this Purim? So when we read Kimu v'kibra Yehudim, what is it that you should have in mind? Right now, at this moment, I'm accepting the Torah. Out of love, because Purim is a time of love. It's a time of happiness. V'chab mekor shmoysa megillah sheme'ata mekabel ol terosa mitzvoysa v'yachin es atzmoy mashachalaf v'ovar ayin. And now you can really do tshuva, because now you're accepting the Torah as if it's a new clean slate. Mashe chalaf ve'avar ein, the past is gone. U'me'ata mekabel olav otaros mitzoyis yusborach. And from now on, I'm accepting the Torah. And that's the power of the Megillah. You know, the Sfarim say that the Zman of Kriyas Megillah is a very, very high time. He says a story here from Yidra Horowitz, from Jikov, the Jikov Rebbe, that one time his grandfather, the Avos Yisrael from Vizhnitz, was reading the Megillah. And next to the Avos Yisrael was standing a chassid, Shmuel Yahu Stern. And he wasn't just any old chassid, he was like one of the Bnei Aliyah. And as soon as the Avos Yisrael, the Vizhnitz Rebbe, got to the pasuk in the Megillah where it says, Maduata Oivrares Mitzas HaMelech. So this chassid was really paying attention to the words, and the Megillah was really speaking to him. Right? The Sfarim say, it's the Chazal Pasuk, it's also to read the Megillah Lamafreya. What does it mean to, it's a, you're not allowed to read the Megillah Lamafreya? The Sfarim say, the Pashup Shai is not allowed to read the Megillah backwards. If you read the Megillah out of order, if you read this parak before that parak, well, you like to be able to do that. Let's say a person has a piece of Megillah, you read this parak, and I'll get the other piece, and I'll read the other parak. Maybe you could be Yotze. Hakoros and Megillah Lefraya Avril Yotze. Say this Sfarim. Some say B'Shem Baal Shem Tov, some say B'Shem other Tzadikim. Whoever reads the Megillah Lefraya, whoever reads the Megillah as if it's a story about the past, Avril Yotze. The Megillah isn't a story about the past. I mean, if you look at current events, Chon Elitzlan, Persia is alive and well, right? There are people in Persia today that are very interested in Lahashmi, Laharag, Laabed, Eskol Yehudim, Metaf. Right? It's not a joke, right? It's not chesidus shavertel, but it's not a shavertel at all. Of course, the Megillah for Eliyotze. If you think the Megillah is a past story about the past, well, Yotze yidechavasa. That's not the Megillah. So this chassid was really being mekayim. And as soon as he heard Madu atam over mitzvah melech, he thought that the Rebbe was speaking to him. Why are you over mitzvah melech? Why are you being over verse against the melech malchah melech gadosh baruch hu? So the chassid started crying. And, you know, like he was completely zerbrochen. Rabbi Yudra Jikover said, I didn't know where to look. Should I look at my holy grandfather, the Heilige Rebbe, reading the Megillah with face of fire, or should I stare at this chassid who's like so zerbrochen doing tshuva because he was over, he didn't know which one should I look at? Which one should I be inspired by? They were both so inspirational. So we'll just end with one other important concept about Purim, and that is Chayav Inish Libesume Bipuria Adol Yada. Right? We all know there's a mitzvah on Purim to drink. If there's a mitzvah to get drunk, I'm not sure, because it already says in the Gemara the story of Rabba Shechter Rav Zera, right? That Rabba Shechter Rav Zera and the Mefarshim in the back of the Gemara on that Paskin. Therefore, there's no mitzvah to get drunk anymore, because that's the reason the Gemara tells us that story, right? And the Ramah already passed on the halacha that you should drink and then you should go to sleep. So I'm not sure there's a mitzvah to get roaring drunk. Right? I'm pretty sure there isn't. There's definitely a mitzvah to drink, though. Chazal told us a mitzvah to drink. So what's the reason for that? He fligu at tzaddikim b'segulas mitzvahu. There is a mitzvah to drink on Purim. Chushehim litzar v'kadosh b'yetev lev misigit sigitur said that the Gemara says Rav chalib simas shechiach. Shadei ha'isbasmus b'pirim eshaluskos l'revach galdo v'atzala b'chol enyonim. A person who can properly drink on Purim and reach the right state of mind, he can get shefa and parnasa and archava and tarche amenu merubim, everything the cholesterol needs. V'rev mazleah Rav HaKadosh Baal HaMincha Salaz or Minkach, Minkach Rav said in his sefer, what did you say about it? He said, "Bulashan akasuv v'yomer hamelach leEster b'mishte hayain ma sheilasech v'nasamach." When did the Melech, Malach Hamelach Kadosh Baruch Hu, say, "Right, ma sheilasech v'nasamach"? Whatever you ask for, I'm willing to give you. When was it? B'mishte hayain, during the mishte hayain. Shemishte hayain. That's an eis rotzon levakish lischanu lefnei Melech Malach Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever you ask for, you could be zoiche. So what's the reason for that? What is the reason that Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that the Chazal should give us this mitzvah? So the Slonim Rebbe said a mashal. Once there was a king, and he had no choice. He had to move. He had to move to a different city. He had to move the capital of his kingdom to a different city. So when the ministers came with the moving van, he had to put all the royal effects. He got worried because among all the different things that a king has to move, he's got all kinds of important state documents and papers, state secrets. How's he going to move them? They weren't like on microchips like they are today, which you could just stick in your pocket. What's going to happen? People are going to see. So what is he going to do? They decided that the best way would be to guard them. How would they guard them? Maybe a bunch of thieves, armed robbers, highwaymen will rob them. So he said, no problem, we'll hide them. So they took them and they hid them in an innocuous looking box. But the king was even more worried. What's going to happen with my crown? That's not something you could just hide in a box. What are you going to do about the crown? What if they stop me and try to rob me of my crown jewels? They said, that's no problem at all. We'll take the crown and we'll wrap it with rags. We'll wrap it with as much dirty old rags as you can find. And we'll put it straight in front of everything. We'll put it on top of the carriage. And all they'll see will be rags. They'll never think to look there. Because who wants a pile of dirty rags? Hutch, maybe the box, they'll think there's something special in there. But a pile of dirty rags that you think maybe that's what's used to clean the wagon wheels or I don't know what. No one's going to think that the Kesar Malchus, the king's crown, is sitting in there. And that's what they did. They took a bunch of old dirty rags and they hid it in there, and that's how they guarded the king's crown, and that's what they did, and that's how they safely moved the king's place from one end to the other. That's the same thing on Purim, because it says, like we said, that the Purim is what's called Yom Kippurim, right? Yom Kippur is like Purim, which means Purim has some kind of special, because if Yom Kippur is only like Purim, so Purim must be even higher, says the Zohar Kaddish. So on that day, the king's crown is revealed. What's the king's crown? Right? What do we say on Purim? On Purim we say Keser. At least by the Nusach Sfarad, by the Chassidim, we say Keser. We say Keser during all of the Kedushas on Yom Kippur. We don't just say it. By us we say Nakdishach, and then afterwards we say Keser by Musaf. On Yom Kippur it's by all of them. They're all Keser. Because even according to Nusach Ashkenaz, we don't say the word Keser. Obviously the power, the spiritual power awakens no matter what Nusach you're davening. But when you say Keser, it awakens unbelievable lights. Those unbelievable lights awaken up in Shemayim during Yom Kippur. They're on Purim 24/7. They never get turned off. It's not like you have to say Kedisha to open them, right? It's not like there's like a switch. Like you say Kedisha, the lights go on. You finish the lights go off. On Purim, they're just on 24/7. They don't go off. The entire 24 hours of Purim, they're on those lights. On such a holy day, what do we say? Mishta Yain? Everybody has the ability to ask whatever they want to from the king. That's a bit dangerous. Because what if people ask for the wrong things? What if the wrong people ask for the wrong things? Well, will Kadosh Baruch have to give them? It says in Hilchas Purim that on Purim, whoever sticks out his hand, you have to give him. It means in tzedakah, right? Chassidim said, Kadosh Baruch Hu answers everyone. Whoever sticks out his hand, you have to give him. Kadosh Baruch Hu has to give him. Whatever you ask for, Kadosh Baruch Hu grants it. That's a very dangerous thing, because what if the wrong people ask for the wrong things? So Chazal came up with an ingenious method. How do you protect the Kesser? How do you protect the king's crown? You wrap it up in a bunch of dirty old rags that no one's going to recognize. Came Chazal and said, you want to be Zoiche to the Kesser? There's only one way. The Sfarim said there's different levels of Das. The lowest level of Lo Yada is like Shikrus or Shaloit, being so drunk you don't know what's going on. That's not what Ad Lo Yada in Chazal means. Then there's Das, like a child's Das. Like Chazal say that when a child starts eating grain and he starts talking, that's when he starts knowing things. A child's Das is still childish. It means he can tell the difference between his parents and somebody else. This toy is my toy and that's not. This is my tati, that's my mommy. A childish Das. Then a person gets older and they get, hopefully they mature and they get a mature Das, an adult Das, where they can really begin to understand things. And then there's a level called Lo Yada, when that Das is taken to the next step. What does it mean, Lo Yada? It means like this. What does Das mean? It means I can tell the difference between this and that. When you're an adult, you can tell the difference between what's right and wrong. A child doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, usually. They do all kinds of stuff that's wrong. They don't understand. They have to be taught. When they mature, they begin to realize the difference between right and wrong. A child doesn't steal, not because he knows that it's wrong to steal. He knows either he's going to get a patch, or if, you know, he might get caught, it might feel bad. His parents told him he's not allowed to do it. He doesn't understand. He just understands that if he does it, he'll get hurt. He doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. An adult, a mature person, doesn't steal, not because, I mean, like, there are people who steal because they don't have this understanding of the difference between right and wrong, right? But a person knows the difference between right and wrong. He knows, he understands that it's wrong to steal, not because someone's watching, right? When a person comes into a candy store and they're a child, and the guy walks behind the counter, a child might just grab something and run out. Most adults, when the guy walks behind the counter, don't go, I don't know, should I steal it? Oh, I have such a hard to steal it. Most adults, who are not kleptomaniacs, they're not like, a piece of candy isn't grasping them with such a taiva, right? There are exceptions, but most of the time, adults, because they know it's wrong to steal, they have an understanding of the difference between right and wrong. And then there's a level above where a person can see the Kedusha within everything. The Derizal teaches that within every single thing in the world there's godliness. Even within evil, even within sin, even the most disgusting, darkest place, there's something of Kedusha in there, otherwise it couldn't exist altogether. So a person on that level can look at any type of thing there is and see the godliness in the Kedusha. That's Lo Yada. That's not knowing the difference between good and evil, because when you know the difference between good and evil on the Chitzonius level, you see that's good and that's evil. But when you see the good in everything, when you're able to even see the Kedusha and the godliness within things that are wrong, that's a Madriga called Lo Yada. That's the Madriga that Chazal are saying, Mechayev Inish L'Mesum Puraya Ad Lo Yada. That you have to reach a level where you don't see the difference between good and evil between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, that somewhere in the Ar Haman there's also something there that's for the good. That's a very high level, and that's the level that we're supposed to try and reach by drinking. So that's not a level that everybody can reach. It's very difficult for people to reach such a level. So Chazal took that madriga of the Keser Malchus, of the king's crown, the ability to ask for a Kadosh Baruch for anything, and they hid it, the holiday of Purim, within a bunch of dirty rags, within drinking. And most of the people who drink, they end up in the other Lo Yada, rolling on the floor, not knowing who they are, not knowing where they are, forgetting about the fact that it's the most unbelievable day. There's an opportunity on Purim to achieve things. It says about tzaddikim that they would close themselves off in their rooms, they would daven and say Tehillim on Purim. The Gemara that you learn on Purim, the Tehillim you say on Purim, has a totally different level. And most of the people on Purim are busy running around in the streets singing and drinking. Now, it's part of the mitzvah of Purim to drink, but it becomes such a thing that the people who know what to do with their time, who know how to utilize it, they're utilizing it properly. They do their drink, and they're able to reach Lo Yada, a different type of Lo Yada. And those who don't know, they end up Lo Yada. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us that even if we have a few drinks on Purim, we should remember it's an auspicious time, a time of an Eis Rutzin that we can ask, and Kadosh Baruch Hu should help, will be granted Hashpas Toivus in Bracha, in Parnasa, in Refua, in Yeshuas, of all the things that we need. Well, Hashem should help. Whatever we ask for, we should be answered. Kol HaPoshet, yeah, whatever we put our hands for, we should be given those things. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Mishteh Yayin, Kol She'lasech V'tinasen Lach, I'll give you whatever you need. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give all of Kaiser whatever we need. And we should see the Yeshua and the Schus of Mordechai and Esther, just like in their Schus we were saved from Achashverosh and from Haman. Kadosh Baruch Hu should save us in our generation from our Achashverosh and from our Haman. And B'bi'as Goyot Tzedek, Merav Amen.
Amen.